There's a lot of talk about finding your voice in the world of writing. I've never been convinced. If good writing is about voice, then, to extend the metaphor, it's about speech. And no one talks in just one way. Or no one normal. I can think of a few MPs who clearly found their register at boarding school and are sticking with it. What the rest of us do, normal human beings, is what linguists call code switching. Humans are adaptable creatures par excellence. When we talk, we modulate and match our register to the subject, the environment, the person with whom we're carrying on a conversation at the time. Writing can be like that too. Malleable, purposeful, flexible. Yes, there are artists of all sorts who do the same thing over and over, like Piet Mondrian, painting his endless neoplastic primary colour grids. But these are works I find monotonous, notwithstanding their infinite internal variations. Something similar is true of certain lionized, highly voiced stylists. Take Hemingway. Yes, the voice is strong. It's a strong voice. I just wish he'd sometimes try sounding a bit less relentlessly cowboy. The writers who inspire me are the ones who try stuff and move on. I'm willfully ignoring the fact here that poor Piet Mondrian tried a host of different styles before settling on those grids in around 1918. And I know I'm caricaturing Hemingway. He has his feminine moments. What about William Golding? I've loved his work since I picked up Pincher Martin in sixth form and was astonished to find that it seemed to bear no relation to Lord of the Flies, which of course I'd read lower down the school. Then I read The Inheritors and The Spire, each almost madly different again. Although, as my writer friend Jonathan Buckley commented, every Golding is different from every other Golding, but there's not a single line of any of them that could have been written by anyone else but Golding. Jonathan, I should clarify, does not much care for William Golding. And then, in late career, comes Golding's astonishing leap to rites of passage. Not so much a code switch there as a code metamorphosis. Admittedly, Golding employs a narrator in that book, an aristocratic young man writing a letter to his godfather, so of course the voice is different. And admittedly, things do get more and more recognisably Golding-like as the book develops. But still, plenty of authors develop a late style. I can't think of any other writer who executed such a sharp, risky turn in late career. Perhaps the right analogy for what writers do with voice isn't speech after all. It's music. If writing is like voice, well, then I like the voices that sing. Compare the flexibility and control of the trained singer with those monoglot folk singers who only ever sound like folk singers for all their authenticity. Voice, for me, has to be a tool, or it is nothing. And writing, for me, is not self-expression. It's an art form. So the writers who inspire me are the ones who can do wonderful things with their many, many voices, not those who howl, however powerfully, however authentically.